This is the Anderson Files on PodClip. The Anderson Files is a look at commerce, investment, economics, and retirement issues that affect each and every one of you. Your host is Mike Anderson, Executive Vice President, Retirement Services, and partner of Finestone Partners. Finestone Partners is an independent firm with securities offered through Four Point Capital. And now your host, Mike Anderson.
Virtual networking in the age of social distancing. How can it benefit you? I'm chatting today with Bill Salibi, PhD, known as Dr. Bill. He is the foremost expert on the psychological and practical aspects of business networking. He's the author of the books Connecting, Key Networking Tips for Business and Life, Connecting Beyond the Name Tag, Sell Yourself, and Study Skills for Success. He's been speaking, training, and teaching on a wide variety of topics since 1972. Dr. Bill received his PhD in education with a specialization in counseling from UCLA in 1980. He serves as a consultant and trainer with businesses to infuse networking into their business development practices. Bill, welcome. How are you?
Good, Mike. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You know, you're known for calling them as you see them, observing people. Why has the world gravitated to virtual networking to such a great degree?
I think one of the main reasons, Mike, is our inherent need for human interaction. And when we realized in March that we couldn't see each other in person, and we were given the opportunity of virtual networking, specifically through Zoom, we pivoted and adapted and got into it because it was all we had. And the other things, I think, is our need to continue networking, those of us who were in the networking world. And Zoom gave us this opportunity to do it, even though we couldn't meet. And the final thing, I think, is just the fact that we were in this pandemic was something that kind of bonded us. And part of the kind of background discussion was about the world we were living in at this time, which was this, you know, social distance world. So I think it was kind of a variety of topics, but we're adaptable. Human beings are adaptable, and we adapted.
Do you think coming out of the pandemic, this great focus on virtual networking will remain at this level? Will it back off? Is it going to be a combination of in-person and virtual?
I don't think virtual networking will go away. I think it's here to stay. The people I've been talking to have a variety of opinions about it versus meeting in person. So I think when we are able to meet in person, I think it could be that we can't fill the rooms like we used to fill them. So then we would be faced, well, networking groups like Bruin Professionals and Provisors and High Rise Networks and all the networking groups will then have to decide whether they're going to have groups that are strictly Zoom, and maybe some groups, if they can, will meet in person. And then there is the possibility of a hybrid group. Two types of hybrids. One is where the meeting itself is hybrid. Let's say you have 15 people that show up into the room and 15 people that Zoom in. That's a little difficult to do. The other type of hybrid you could do is have a group that meets, if they meet six times a year in person and six times a year virtually. So there's all those options, and I've talked to some of the networking groups, and they're all kind of thinking about that. Some feeling that they could do the hybrid group, and others feeling that it's really not tenable.
How should someone prepare to be in a virtual networking session?
I think there's several things you should definitely do. The first is attire. You only have to worry about waist up, but you should be professional in what you're wearing in terms of your shirt or blouse or dress or whatever it is that a person's wearing in their upper part of their body. The height of the computer is important so that the camera is not looking up at you and or down at you. You should have ample lighting, so you should be well lit, so you don't look like you're in the witness protection program. And two other things, I think. Your background is important. It shouldn't be cluttered. It can reflect something about you, something about your hobby, something about your workspace. Or you could go with a virtual background. And those, there's a lot of kind of an endless variety of those. And the final thing I think you should do to prepare is noise abatement. As much as possible, shut the windows or do whatever you need to do so that there's not ambient noise that's going to distract. And if you have any of that, mute yourself.
Folks seem to be more relaxed with virtual networking. Is this good?
I think it's always good for people to be relaxed, rather than not be relaxed. But I think being too relaxed could be too casual, which then would go into the unprofessional realm. So I think it's good that people are more relaxed. I think it's good that people don't have to drive. They can Zoom in from their home or their home office, or if it's their personal office or their work office. So I don't know that it's, I don't think it's good or bad per se, but I think in all cases we have to take the relaxed part and enjoy it, but be professional.
And with some of the unique aspects of virtual networking that are found nowhere else, not found in person or other venues to communicate, what are some things that are just totally unique to this type of networking?
I think there are several things, and I don't know if they're 100% unique, but I found them. I hadn't really experienced them before I started doing Zoom networking meetings. So I'll just talk about the things that I have found unique and different. And the first one is the use of the breakout rooms. The breakout rooms, I feel, specifically in Zoom, are fantastic for a lot of reasons. One, it allows you to seamlessly put people into breakout rooms where they're not hearing the noise of other people, and they can kind of see all the people directly. They don't have to figure out where are we going to sit so we can have this breakout discussion. So I love the breakout rooms. I think they're fantastic. The polling option is really good, where you can take a poll. I did a presentation a couple days ago. I really wanted to find out whether people in this networking group liked in-person, liked virtual networking better. So I actually did a poll right before the meeting, and we found out that people kind of were leaning towards liking Zoom better than in-person, but I've seen that vary from group to group. Another thing that is unique or different is the chat function, which I think is good in one sense, in that we're able to communicate with people because we're in a different setting. We're not in a room where we're sitting near each other and around a table or something like that. But also I feel that the chat function can be distracting. And one of the things I have observed over the past 5 months is that people abuse it, and they also tend to multitask and not focus as much on the meeting. So I think that's kind of a segue into kind of saying that it could be an advantage and yet a potential problem. But I think the biggest, you know, benefit and uniqueness is the convenience that we don't have to do all the things to get to a meeting. Driving, parking, security, finding a seat in the room, all the kinds of things that are part of in-person networking are very different with virtual networking.
With the cost of doing all those things in a given day, there's another feature of these programs to do virtual meetings, and that is screen share, where if there is a presenter, they can bring their screen in, share a PowerPoint, and in turn, all of that, the audio and the visual, can be recorded. Do you like those features as well?
I do like the options of those features. I think the screen share is a good option. It has some drawbacks that one has to learn to get around in terms of how it sizes people. In other words, when you go to a screen share, you lose potentially some of the kind of the personal touch of it. So it becomes just like, I think, any PowerPoint or keynote presentation has an advantage of having visuals. That's the advantage. The disadvantage is you got to make sure you have technical people just in case you can't, that you as the presenter have some difficulty with the technology. So, and that's kind of an over-under kind of thing about virtual networking. The good news is that it's convenient. The bad news is you better make sure you have technical people just in case something happens. We had a meeting that I was going to present at, and right as we were doing the meeting, they realized that there was a problem with Zoom. We had about, I think, 40 people on the call. Everybody had to get off the call and go back in on a different link. And fortunately, we had a Zoom monitor, which I think is very, very important. It's really important to have a technical person that's guiding. And I'm kind of getting into speaking about it from not so much just the participant, but as a one who leads groups. And I know, Mike, you lead groups also. And it's different. The being in a group is one thing, but actually leading a group virtually presents new challenges and demands different skills that we might not have had before.
I'm talking with Bill Salibi, PhD. I'm Mike Anderson, and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Bill, I've heard comments that virtual networking kind of levels the playing field. No one person can take over the session. And we're all the same size. We're all Brady Bunch and Hollywood Squares sized. Do you think virtual networking levels the playing field?
On one level, it does. Physically, it does. I remember recently I was having a troika with someone. I was talking to him. I'd never met him in person, and we were on Zoom, and he was telling me that he was a volleyball player, and I just asked him, I said, "How tall are you?" He says, "I'm 6'5". And I thought, wow, I would have never known that. So there's physical size that's definitely equalized. But as far as dominant personalities, there's still going to be dominant personalities, telegenic personalities, people that are really confident in front of the camera are still going to have an advantage. So I don't think it completely levels it. And you're going to get some people that talk much more than others. They're still going to do that. So I don't think that does it. So I don't think it makes it completely equal. But I think in some senses, and I think in the physical sense, it does level it. So yes, in some sense, and no in others.
Something you would never do in an in-person networking session, but that might be acceptable in virtual networking. Can you identify anything?
Yeah, I don't think you'd wear shorts going to a personal meeting. I think you tend to wear long pants, so that's one thing. You'd wear shoes and socks to an in-person meeting, but you don't have to. So there's the attire components of it. I think when we first got into virtual networking, which is about 6 months ago, people were kind of proudly casual. They were proudly sloppy, wearing hats, whatever they were doing, which was, it's a novelty, it's new. I'm at home and I'm comfortable. But in reality, we realized over time that wasn't good for our brand. If we wanted to have a positive image, then we should be professional. The other thing that is unique and different is the chatting function. I don't think people in an in-person meeting, they might potentially text another person in the meeting. And I know there is some of that going on, but the degree to which people chat in virtual meetings is much, much higher, which I think is a tool, but it's also a distraction. And I think it's a problem. And I think some people are beginning to become more aware. And I don't know if you've seen that in your meetings that you run, Mike, but right. I've certainly seen it and, you know, had to kind of tell people, you know, pay attention to the meeting we're having. Just because you're home and you have three screens doesn't mean you should give us 30% of your attention. So I think those are some of the differences.
So keeping the sidebar chatting to a minimum is typically best?
Yeah, I think it should be kept to a minimum. And I think it's almost like we're encouraging people. You know, so for example, you're in a meeting and you're trying to focus. I'm in a meeting. I'm trying to focus on the meeting. And somebody comes in to the meeting and they say, you know, they text me, "Hi, Bill, how you doing? Good to see you." Okay, then that's fine. I respond, "Good to see you also." Or I'm leaving the meeting. "Well, does everybody need to know if you're just one of the members, one of the 30 people in the room, does everybody need to know you're leaving the meeting?" So I think we're still evolving Zoom etiquette. And we don't all agree on what the proper etiquette is. And I think that will evolve over time, and I think different group leaders will have different rules, different decorum for how their meeting is run. We're very much in the stage of establishing norms of what appropriate behavior is, and it hasn't been finalized yet. We're still in that process.
In terms of quantity of how many virtual networking sessions you engage in a week's time, focusing on quality over quantity, do you have any guideline on what is a good balance and what is just too much and you're really not getting anything out of it?
I think that addresses the question of wide versus deep networking. And I think, again, when we first started doing this in March, the novelty was there. I refer to it as the Zoom honeymoon. And people are going, I can go to meetings everywhere. I go to meetings every day. Well, that idea, in one level, is good. It's good to be able to go to meetings that geographically you would not have gone to before. And if we get back to in-person meetings, you will not go to in the future. On the other hand, just to be going to the meetings without building any deep relationships doesn't have a tremendous value. And I think people are starting to taper off. Initially, it was attend as many meetings as they could attend. And related to that is that people who are new to a group have a more difficult time establishing a relationship. Whereas I've noticed the people that already know each other, and I found this myself, if I already know people, it doesn't feel like I haven't seen them in person. Like I've been in, I think, several meetings with you, and it doesn't seem like it's been 6 months since I've seen you in person.
Right.
But if it's a new person that I've never met in person, then they need to work a little bit harder to establish the relationships. And that's where either the breakout rooms, the troikas, the minis, the one-on-ones, the virtual happy hours are really, really important, because the large groups are not the same as being in an in-person meeting where you, before the meeting, you're meeting and schmoozing and shaking hands with a few people. You don't have that in virtual networking, so you have to compensate by taking advantage of the small breakout meetings and the troikas.
Do you think virtual networking is more productive for a professional than in-person networking?
No, I don't think it's more productive. I think you have more time because you're not driving. And, you know, but that doesn't mean the meeting itself is more productive. I don't think it is better or worse per se, or more productive or less productive. Because I think a lot of it is we're still learning how to navigate virtual networking. I don't think we've gotten to the point of perfecting what's good. In other words, for example, we're saying a group leader may say, "Well, I'm going to have three breakout meetings." Well, do you know what your purpose is in having the three breakout meetings? Are you just doing it to be because it's there and you have this ability to do it, or is there a real rationale and a purpose and a value to doing that. So I don't think virtual are more or less productive per se. I think we can be more productive in our lives because we're spending a lot less time getting to the meeting or getting to the troika or the mini.
Could you give us an update on your new book, Virtual Networking in the Age of Social Distancing? Any updates?
It's mostly written. I'm at the stage now of doing some revision, adding some components to it, and then I anticipate it'll come out in September or October. I'm fast-tracking it because it's very much related to the time we're in. I think certain things are going to stick around. The title has social distancing. I'm assuming social distancing will be around for a little while, but even if it isn't, I predict strongly that virtual networking will be around. So even if social distancing isn't still required 2-3 years from now, virtual networking is here to stay, I think. So I'm making a lot of progress. I'm in the process now of interviewing a lot of people. I'm interviewing all the major networking groups to see what they're doing. I'm very interested in that. And I'm interviewing both new and veteran members of groups to see kind of, do they like it? Do they like virtual networking? Do they not like it? And, you know, so what I'm finding is some people are dying to get back into the boardroom. And other people are saying, boy, this networking, it really works well. I hope it stays. It satisfies all my needs. So I think I'm finding a consistent opinions about what people like better and why they like it better, whether they're a member of a group, a group leader, or part of the management of a networking group.
And Bill, I have to ask, if we want a signed copy of the book, can we use DocuSign?
Oh, that's great. I hadn't thought of that, Mike. Actually, that's funny you should ask, because I've been thinking about, doing book signings, and I'm actually thinking I'm gonna second guess this thing. I'm gonna assume that I have to do a virtual book signing. I'm gonna assume that if we can do something in person. But I promise you a signed copy. It won't be DocuSigned. It'll be, even if I have to deliver it to you, you'll get your signed copy, and I appreciate all of your feedback and support over the years. It's been great.
Excellent, Bill. Thank you. And for folks to reach you, what phone number and email address should they use?
Okay, the phone number they should use is 310-308-3123. That's 310-308-3123. Or, and the email is wsaleeb, that's WSALEEB @gmail.com. Those are the best places to reach me.
Thank you, Bill. We look forward to the book. I'd like to thank Daryl Wayne, technician, Mark Allen, producer. I'm Mike Anderson. This is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Keep calm and keep listening.
You've been listening to the Anderson Files with Mike Anderson. Visit us at podclip.io and check on the financial box for more information on the Anderson Files.